You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News. Last week, Prime Minister Mark Carney was in Calgary to sign a historic Memorandum of Understanding with Alberta's Premier Daniel Smith, which outlines a new energy pact, which, among other developments, would see a path forward to develop a new bitumen oil pipeline to the northern coast of British Columbia. Although some have applauded the move, many have criticized it as a political stunt. As Ottawa and Alberta try to contain the fallout, First Nations conservation groups and even the government of BC have already voiced their opposition to the plan and vowing that an oil pipeline and port through some of the most remote regions of the country will never be built. Since the agreement on November 27th, former Federal Environment Minister Stephen Gilboa has resigned from cabinet in protest of the new agreement. The reception for Premier Smith signing the MOU was met with boos at her United Conservative Party conference over the weekend, and political pundits are criticizing the pact as just political antics that has done little to appease Liberal MPs in British Columbia and Premier Smith's far-right base in Alberta. As rumors swirled before the signing of the MOU last week, Coastal First Nations, the Premier of BC, David Eby, and the Haisla Nation have all voiced their opposition. Earlier this month, the CFN, including several non-member nations and the government of BC, signed the North Coast Protection Declaration. BC Environment Minister and North Coast MLA Tamara Davidson had this to say about the government's opposition and insisted that they will never support oil transportation on the north coast of BC. Here are some of the remarks from several First Nations along the North Coast, as well as Environment Minister for BC Tamara Davidson and Premier David Eby, and what they had to say about BC First Nations and communities' opposition to oil transportation on the North Coast.
My Haida name is Lannis. My English name is Tamara Davidson, and I'm so honored to be here today as the Minister of Environment and Parks. For millennia, Indigenous people have been stewards of the water, land, wildlife, and rich resources at the heart of what we now call British Columbia. I continue to renew my own love and connection to the land that often fills me with wonder. We have been stewards of our own lands and waters for time immemorial. To talk more about the importance of BC's coast, I'm pleased to welcome Premier David Eby.
Thanks, Tamara. Good morning, everybody. It's great to see you here early this morning. We're joined by a number of our friends from Coastal First Nations. Behind me, I see a number of my colleagues from the legislature here this morning. It's great to see you, colleagues. All of us are gathered here for the same reason. It's to celebrate the amazing and incredible northern coast of British Columbia. This is a coastline, if you've never had the opportunity to visit, I really encourage you to do so. It is a gem for the entire nation. It is a signature landscape and oceanscape that people think of when they think of British Columbia and when they think of our country as a whole. And not only is it beautiful and wild and incredible, but what often gets lost in the conversation about the North Coast is the incredible economic driver that it is for communities up and down its length. Whether you're talking about larger communities like Prince Rupert or smaller communities like Bella Bella, Bella Coola, tourism, fisheries, industries that have developed in a sustainable way along the coast through careful planning and work by multiple levels of government, now reflect thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in economic activity every year. Now, if you've had a chance to visit a place like Cape Scott or one of the Bellas, Bella Cooler, Bella Bella, it might feel a little crass to talk about economic activity in what is such a special and magical place. But it's important that we talk about it, because that is the conversation that's happening right now across the country. How do we grow and strengthen our economy? How do we stand up on our own two feet as Canadians? How do we advance an economy that is distinctly and uniquely Canadian? And I can't think of a better example than the work that we've done in the Great Bear Rainforest. Here's a situation where we invested $60 million as a provincial government and now see $1.8 billion in economic activity, that we're continuing with our commitments around the Great Bear Sea project. When you think about salmon, when you think about the fish, the seafood, the tourism opportunities, you can see how these numbers add up so quickly. It means that whether you're strictly focused on the numbers or whether for you nature is paramount, we can all agree that protecting our coast is not a threat to the Canadian economy. It is, in fact, a strategy for the Canadian economy. The oil tanker ban off the coast of British Columbia has been in place for generations, for more than 50 years. This is a consensus that has lasted across multiple governments. When it was encoded into law recently, that was not a new thing. That was putting into Canada's legal code something that had been the practice for decades. This oil tanker exclusion zone recognizes the obvious, that one crude oil spill would destroy billions of dollars in economic activity, would destroy the livelihoods of thousands of people and families up and down the coast. And there is no technology, there is no ability to clean up that spill. So when we think about what we have, the incredible gift as British Columbians and Canadians that the North Coast represents, both economically and just as a symbol of who we are as Canadian people, and you think about the opportunities still to come, we've only gotten started in terms of the opportunities along the North Coast. Putting it at risk to get rid of the oil tanker ban makes absolutely no sense, either economically or for the country. I also want to be clear about something. Coastal First Nations are standing with us here today, continue to be the drivers of economic activity in British Columbia and for the country as a whole. We may not always agree on everything, but one thing we do agree is that the oil tanker ban enables us to do major economic work together. It is not a surprise to me that 40% of the major projects in the federal government's shovel-ready major projects office right now are located in BC's Northwest. We require the ability to cooperate and work together and navigate responsible economic growth that benefits everybody and sustains livelihoods that have existed since time immemorial. We're going to be signing a declaration today calling on the federal government to stand up against those voices who would have us walk away from this multi-generational commitment. This is not, in my opinion, a partisan issue. Conservative leaders like Brian Mulroney, Ronald Reagan, they recognize that some places were too precious to put at risk. And that includes our North Coast. So we call on the federal government to recognize what generations of leaders have, that we need to protect our coast in order to grow our economy. And the conversation that we can have as a country between each other, the provinces and the territories, can be that distinctly Canadian approach of protecting the things that are precious for future generations while growing the economy, creating opportunity for many people to come. And it's the people behind me, and it's the people of British Columbia and Canada who will make that happen. So thank you very much for joining us here this morning. I stand here, it's an honor to stand here with the Coastal First Nations and recognize your leadership in standing up for the tanker ban that has existed for decades, may it exist for many more decades, and we will all push together to ensure that that opportunity is preserved for generations to come.
My name is Kawajit Marilyn Slett, and I'm the president of Coastal First Nations and also the elected chief counselor for Halsik Nation. And Coastal First Nations is an alliance of coastal communities from the North, Central, and Haida Gwaii. And today we're joined with our leadership from our communities. We're also supported by the First Nations Leadership Council. We want to acknowledge FNLC for their support and also acknowledge the beautiful territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations and allowing us to do this important work here today on their traditional territories. And I want to welcome all of you for being here today. When people think about beautiful British Columbia, they think about our coast. They think about our territories, our people, and our culture. They think about the whales and the salmon and the spirit bears that live here. Our nations have stewarded and cared for this area, our home, for 14,000 years. And it remains one of the richest and most productive ecoregions on Earth. Reflecting on the words of a Halsik elder who also provided testimony at the 1977 West Coast Oil Ports Inquiry that was held in Namu, Angus Campbell said, "An oil spill would finish us. We want to continue to live our way of life connected to a healthy, intact ocean. We will never stop fighting to preserve our cultural and our spiritual way of life and the coastal wildlife and ecosystems that we depend on." That is why we are here today with the province of British Columbia to call on the federal government to commit to upholding the Oil Tanker Moratorium Act to protect our ecosystems and to grow our coastal economy for the benefit of all British Columbians and for all Canadians from coast to coast to coast. The oil tanker ban is the result of 50 years of advocacy by our coastal communities, and it is foundational for keeping our coast healthy and our economy strong. For the past 25 years, Coastal First Nations Great Bear Initiative has been focused on building a sustainable conservation economy. This economy was built in partnership with the province and federal governments, and it has been incredibly successful. New data provided by Coast Funds confirms that in 16 years, the conservation economy fueled by the Great Bear Rainforest Agreements has created over 1,000 permanent jobs and over 100 new businesses, all while protecting the environment. Building on our success, just last June, we signed the Great Bear Sea Project Finance for Permanence Agreements with the federal and provincial governments, which has the potential to triple these numbers. But we can only realize these benefits if we keep our coasts healthy and productive. This is what we're focused on, and this is what we want to keep building on our coast. That is why today we are proud to stand with the province of British Columbia, united in our shared responsibility to protect Canada's North Coast. We stand together in calling upon the Government of Canada to uphold and defend the oil tanker moratorium.
I'd now like to introduce and welcome to the podium Gary Reese, the Mayor of Lac aux Lames.
I come from a community that is one of the largest communities in BC. We have over 4,200 members in our band. You know, we're already rich with all our sea resources that we have in our area. We have salmon, all the sea resources. My people still go out today to get those sea resources and the salmon or fishermen go out every year for our people. We have a fish plant in our community. We spent millions to upgrade that to a ground fish facility that employs up to 100 of our members every year. That is the largest employment we have in our community for our people. We want this tanker ban to stay in place. We cannot afford to let this happen to try to lift that tanker ban. We've seen what an oil spill can do up in Alaska. Today, they still have the effects of that spill. Another oil spill was in the Helsinki there when they had an oil spill, and we all see what that can do. That'll destroy all our sea resources that our people today depend on. And we cannot afford to let that happen. My people will never, ever agree to allow oil in our territory. We have lots going on in our territory. We're involved with a lot. But we sure don't need that oil, which can destroy everything in our territory. And I'm really happy to see all the First Nations and the province, the premier here today, supporting that to have that tanker ban stay in place. And we want to see it stay in place all the time, forever. We don't want to ever see that in our territory. And we will go against it all the time. So thank you with that.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or check us out on the web at smithersradio.com. CICK News has been made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to my colleague Pam Hassan and all of our roving journalists, I'm Daniel Messick. Thanks for listening.